in what God has said or promised, even when the fullness of his promise isn't seen yet. And each one of these heroes from Hebrews chapter 11 walked in faith. If you look at 11:39, all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They hadn't received it, but they walked as though they already had. They looked ahead. And there's so much to learn, as we've said week after week, so much to learn from each one of these Bible characters that we could spend way more time learning about each one and from their lives. And tonight, of course, Joshua is no exception to that. There is his life, even though the name may not be as strong as Moses or Abraham, wow, what a life of faith that he led. And you certainly can't cover it all, but my attention's drawn to two things about his life. There are lots of things, but two things for us tonight that I think the Lord wants to for us to learn from. And that is faith's influence, and then faith in the Word of God and the Word of God working faith into our lives. So, verse 30, Hebrews 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days, led by Joshua. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. The first time Joshua is mentioned in the Bible is in Exodus 17, where Moses had just led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And if you turn to Exodus 17, this keeps slipping. I brought my slippery Bible tonight. I used to be stuck on one Bible, and now I'm branching out, and I'm using all my Bibles. This is a slippery Bible. This is going to bother me tonight. Exodus 17, verse 8. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, so this is the first time his name is mentioned, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Then the next time Joshua is mentioned is when God called Moses up to the mountain when he was going to give him those Ten Commandments, the law, the Word of God. And you don't have to turn there, I'll read it to you. In Exodus 24, then the Lord said to Moses, come up to the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law of commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. So Moses arose with his assistant, Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. So we see at that time, here Joshua is now Moses' assistant, his right-hand man. Now, if you remember, when Moses was up on the mountain, he was on there for many, many days and nights. He went up, the elders went up, stopped at a certain point. Joshua stopped at a certain point. Moses kept going to receive the commands from God. Well, he was up there so long that the children of Israel were getting very impatient. And they started murmuring and complaining, and they said to Aaron, Moses' brother, you've got to do something. We don't know what's become of this man. Make us a god so we can worship. And so Aaron complied, and he took all their gold earrings and threw them in the furnace, fashioned a golden calf. They began to worship this golden calf, dance around, do whatever the pagan rituals were in worship, having a big worship party. Well, the sound went all the way up to the mountain. Moses heard it, but God had told him, get down. Those people are messing up down there. Well, Joshua heard it too. So when Moses came down and he got to Joshua, Joshua's response was, there's noise of war in the camp. He immediately thought, has to be war. Can't be anything else. You know, he's there waiting. Can you imagine waiting for, you know, 20, 30, 40 days waiting for Moses? I don't know what he's doing, but he's waiting. And obviously his heart and his mind are where they're supposed to be, on the Lord and the awesomeness and the holiness of what God is doing in speaking to Moses. So he just figured these people have got to be attacked. No, they were having a worship party, worshiping a golden calf. After that, Moses took his tent and he moved outside of the camp. And the pillar of cloud would go stand at the entrance of the tent in the tabernacle. And the Lord, it tells us, spoke to Moses face to face as a friend speaks to a friend. And then it says, and he would return to the camp, Moses, but his servant Joshua, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. So it's not a whole lot is said in those first five books of the Bible about Joshua, but what is said at the very end, he's a young man. He's right there with Moses. He's Moses' assistant. He's a tough guy. I mean, if he led these people out into battle, I mean, he's a tough warrior. And he's very spiritual, very spiritually minded. And he is very dedicated to the things of the Lord, because he stayed at the tabernacle. He stayed around the things of the Lord. Joshua was also one of the 12 spies that were sent out to go spy out the land, spy out the promised land. And so Joshua went out with the other 11 and spied out the land. They came back after 40 days. And 10 of the spies came back full of fear. And they said, there's giants in the land. This is too big. We're going to get wiped out if we go in there. I know what God promised, but this is way too big. And they brought back a very fearful report and stirred up the hearts of the people. Immediately they were fearful and they wanted to stone Moses. And it tells us that Joshua and Caleb, they tore their clothes and said, wait a minute, because they were full of faith. They didn't see what these other men saw. They saw the good of the land. And they had faith, knowing that God had promised them this land. So that means God's going to be with us so we can go in there and conquer these people. But the majority were fearful. And because of that, because of their disobedience, their lack of faith, their doubt, the Lord said, you are not going to enter into the promised land. You're so afraid. You're not going to enter in. You're going to wander in this wilderness 1 year for every day that they went and spied out the land, except for Caleb and for Joshua. They are given the promise that they can go into the promised land. So for the next 40 years, Joshua wandered in the wilderness following Moses as Moses' assistant. And he was faithful to the call that had been placed on his life. We saw last time that Moses is a man full of faith. I mean, unbelievable faith to walk with God that long with such resistance from people and yet firmly believe that the Lord is going to do what he says. And Joshua was with him every step of the way. He saw every act. He saw every miracle. He saw every failure of Moses. He saw every time. You know, the Bible doesn't record every minute, obviously, of every day. It just records little what he wants us to know. But you know there's 24 hours in a day, so a lot of conversation goes on. A lot happens. So you can imagine that Joshua, as Moses' assistant, he knew Moses. He watched Moses. So he knew if Moses was having doubt. He knew if he was fearful. He knew if he was full of faith at that time, or if he was going to be angry and strike that rock a second time. I mean, he was there. He watched it. He watched Moses' heart as a compassionate leader and an intercessor for the people and a father to them, a counselor to them. He fought for Moses while Moses was up there. He fought hard for the Lord and for his leader there. He waited on that mountain as Moses was up on the mountain. He waited for him. And if that were you, I mean, you'd be thinking, wow, what an awesome thing. I mean, the whole mountain is covered in smoke and cloud and everything. And you know, God is talking to Moses up there. I mean, just he's the first one that saw Moses come down. He got to see his face. He got to see the first written word of God on those tablets. I mean, Moses got to see them. He was there. But Joshua, he got to see them. So many private conversations, so much that this young man got to see. And we can be sure that Moses' faith, his trust in the Lord, had a great impact upon that young man, Joshua, to be discipled by him, to be mentored by him. What did he learn from that man? And Joshua goes on to be a great man of faith because he's following this influence in his life. He had placed himself, God had placed him, but he said yes, under Moses' authority and under his leadership to watch him and to learn from him. And just as Joshua learned from Moses, each one of us, we are influenced by everyone that we're around. I mean, it doesn't matter who we are. Some people are more easily influenced than others, but I'll tell you, all of us, doesn't matter, again, who we are. We are influenced by people, and that can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. But Moses, his influence, obviously, was a good influence because it was full of faith. You know, fear is contagious. We saw, you know, what happened when the spies came back. It was so catching that over a million people caught it, and they were fearful. Faith is also contagious, and to be around someone, people who are full of faith, is what we need in our lives. So we need to make a point to be around those people who will influence us in the things of the Lord and who are full of faith. So we need to surround ourselves with leaders who are full of faith. Not all leaders are full of faith. Not all leaders are good leaders. But we need to pick and choose. And we do need to choose to be around those leaders, mentors, Bible teachers who are full of faith. The authors we choose to read in their books, we need to read those who are going to build us up, teach us, stretch us in our faith. The friends that we're around, we need to be around people who are full of faith. You know what it's like. I mean, we've all been there, where maybe you're going through a hard thing and you're kind of doubting a little bit and you're maybe a little bit fearful. And if you talk to the wrong lovely Christian, but the wrong one at that time, you can walk away very discouraged and even more fearful because they are going to plant these little seeds of doubt in your mind and in your life. But we don't want to be around that. And I'm sure that you know people whether you're really good friends with them or you just know them and you think, I need to go talk to that person about this situation because I know they're going to encourage me and they're going to instill faith in my life. They're going to turn my eyes on Jesus that I need because I'm struggling right now. And we need to choose that. Purposely choose to be around people who are full of faith. And I'm telling you, I don't know why, but the older I get, the more I need that. And you would think, oh, well, the older you get, you know, you're more mature and you're more godly and you're more whatever you are. But I'm finding that, no, that's not necessarily the case. I need to be built up. I don't want to be around negativity, you know. I do that too much on my own. I need to be around, again, people who are full of faith. In fact, the other morning I was in my quiet time and, you know, I'm dealing with something and like, Lord, I need someone to talk to about this particular thing because I need perspective and I need to be built up in that. So Lord, lead me to the right person who will say the right thing to me. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise. So surround yourself with those who will influence you in faith. You know, we're learning about faith. I hope you have seen yourself grow this year. Maybe just a little bit. I know the Lord has given, he's given me plenty of opportunity because that's how we grow in faith. It's just not all reading and listening and head knowledge, but it's practice. So he's given me since September, oh yeah, lots of that opportunity to grow in my faith. And I am, praise the Lord, doing that. I am growing and I am now mindful of it to where I stop and I say, okay, I have a choice to go on autopilot and go my old way of fear and doubt or whatever it might be, anxious or, you know, whatever it might be in the situation. Or I can choose faith. I'm thinking faith now, and I'm so thankful for that. I need that. So surround yourself with those kind of people. Joshua was chosen by God to be the next leader after Moses. And in Numbers 27, if you want to turn there, you can. Otherwise, I can read it to you. Numbers 27. Wait a minute. Let me just make sure I'm in the right place. Yes. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation. Because Moses knew, I'm not going into the promised land. I know that my days are coming to an end. Someone needs to lead the people. Who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set before him Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. At his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and the children, and all the children of Israel, with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid hands on him and inaugurated him just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And then Joshua was then further, he was given his marching orders. He was commissioned in Deuteronomy 31 verses 7 and 8. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in all the sight of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, and the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. That is beautiful, and that is building someone up in faith. Here, Moses, he is encouraging Joshua, just stirring faith up within him. The Lord is with you. The Lord will go before you. He's not going to leave you. When you lead these people, He will be leading these people. He is with you, turning his eyes on the Lord. That is building up faith. You know, when we turn each other's eyes onto Jesus, we are building each other's faith up. After the death of Moses, then the Lord spoke directly to Joshua. If you turn to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read about his life there. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to you, to them, to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So here is God speaking to him, building up his faith. Remind me three times, be strong, don't fear, be courageous. Why? Because I'm with you, because I've called you. And what I say, I will do. I'm with you, Joshua. I will bring you through. You will be able to lead the people. Faith is believing what God just said and then acting on what God just said. Now, that doesn't mean it's easy, because as we'll see, his faith begins to be tested. Now, God said it all. But Joshua, again, he has to believe, just like we have to believe what God said, okay? But then it's not just enough to believe. We have to step out. We have to act on that. And so the Lord gave him plenty of opportunity. And the first plan of attack was Jericho. Hebrews 11, as we read, by faith the walls of Jericho came down. And it is Joshua led them. So the Lord gave Joshua the first step of going in and taking Jericho. We're going to go in. We're going to go into the promised land. This is the first city we're going to take. And I'm going to give you step-by-step orders here. And he has to take the first step to get the second, to get the third, to get the fourth. They were first to cross over the River Jordan on dry land. Now, he was there. He saw Moses at the Red Sea, with his mantle touching that and having those waters go back and that riverbed all dried out so those almost 2 million people could go through the Red Sea. He saw that, and now it's his turn. God told him, you're going to cross the Jordan. And so, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He saw it. He knows it, but he still has to do it. He still has to choose to take that step and believe he's really going to part this sea. or this river. And so Joshua does that. He obeys, he steps out in faith, and all the people following, this is the next leader, they're like, okay, it's just like when they followed Moses. Well, if he believes it, we believe it, and we're going to follow. Well, here's Joshua. Okay, he believes it, then we're going to go. We believe it. And then the next thing that Joshua does, they get over the River Jordan, so now they're in enemy territory. He then takes all of these mighty warrior men and circumcises them. Because God had instituted circumcision, but as they wandered in the wilderness and the children that were born in the wilderness, for whatever reason, they did not circumcise their baby boys. So all of these grown men were not circumcised. And circumcision is a cutting away of the flesh. It's a dedication to God. It's that outward sign. And Joshua wants to start right. So he circumcises them. Now, it's very interesting because my plan would have been to do that on the other side of the river because it was safer over there. But he didn't, because that wouldn't have taken as much faith as for the Lord to say, no, you crossed the river. Now, if you remember in Genesis, when the men of Shechem want, well, the whole Jacob and his daughter Dinah, and she got raped and he wanted to marry her. And so they said, well, we will intermarry with you, men of Shechem, if you circumcise yourselves. And so the whole town of Shechem, all the men said, oh, okay, we'll do that. So they were all circumcised. And while they were in pain and while they were healing, and this just shows you how incapacitated they can be, two brothers, Simeon and Levi, they went in and they killed all the men. They were able to kill all the men. Now, this wasn't, God did not tell them to do that. But they were able to do that because they were completely incapacitated. Can you imagine just crossing the Jordan River and you're going to go into enemy territory to take the land? And now all these men are laid up. I mean, that seems like a lot of faith to me. That would, you know, you're laying there thinking they could attack us at any time. It's a big test of faith. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to Joshua. And Joshua didn't know who it was. He didn't know it was a pre-incarnate of Jesus, but he knew, okay, this is an angel, this is awesome here. And he said, are you for us or are you for them? And the angel answered, no, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. I didn't come to assist you, and I didn't come to hinder, or I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over, Joshua. I'm here as the commander of this army. It's just a little boost of faith, I think, for him. No, I'm still with you. I'm in charge here. You just step out. So God gave him that battle plan of Jericho. And if you know, we're probably all familiar with that. And that was, Joshua, I want you to march around the city walls, outside of the walls, once a day for 6 days. I don't want you to say anything. Just be quiet. Just the whole army, just march around. Then on the seventh day, I want you to do that 6 times. And then on the seventh time, I want the priests to blow the horns and you guys shout and the walls will fall down. Now, we know the story inside and out, so we know how it ends. But can you imagine hearing that plan for the first time? You know, I don't know if you're a logical person, it certainly doesn't make sense at all. That takes a lot of faith to believe, right, okay, we're going to blow the horn and yell and the walls are going to come down. Okay, but you know what? It gives us no indication that Joshua, you know, doubted or thought it through. Oh, this is going to, you know, he didn't lean to his own understanding. He just said, okay, trusted and obeyed, and he told the men, this is what we're going to do. This is the commander came, and this is what he said, and this is what we're going to do. So he took that step of faith, and the men that followed him, then they took that step of faith, because it's like Moses' faith influenced Joshua. Joshua's faith is influencing these men. God is pleased when he sees faith, that faith come out and demonstrated. And of course, you know what happened. They marched around, blew those, and the walls all came down. And they went in and defeated the enemy and began conquering the land. When the Lord tells us to do something that does not make sense, and I don't know if that's ever happened to you or not, but it's just like, this just seems a little odd or too easy, or, you know, like when he told, you know, Naaman, go down and dunk yourself in the Jordan for 7 times and you'll be cured of your leprosy. You know what I mean? Some things just don't make sense that he tells us to do. But when we don't lean to our own understanding and we just step out in faith, it builds our faith. It boosts our faith. Our reason and logic need to be governed by God. So Joshua went on battle after battle to conquer the land, and he did. There's only, in the whole book of Joshua, there's only noted 2 failures, 2 areas, and the same thing, that Joshua did not directly seek the Lord. It was right after victory at Jericho when they went into Ai. They didn't stop and say, Lord, what do you want us to do? They just full steam ahead, and because Achan had taken some of the treasures, and which God said don't do, there's sin in the camp. But you know, Joshua didn't ask the Lord about that, so that was a little defeat there. But then, okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? And so he asked him step by step on all the other battles. He was tricked because he didn't seek the Lord when the men of Gibeon came and wanted to make that treaty, lying to them. But anyway, if you're not familiar with it, you're not going to follow me, and I don't have time. So, Joshua, a man full of faith and a man who walked with God and was faithful to God all the days of his life. In Joshua 11:15, it says, as the Lord had commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Obedience. Obedience is faith. He stepped out in faith. With every command, he stepped out in faith and he obeyed. And God takes note of that. Now, we are probably all familiar with Joshua's farewell address at the end of the book of Joshua. 2 chapters are given over to that, but there's a few statements that we're probably very familiar with, that Joshua said to the men, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. Choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Wonderful things. There's a whole study in itself. But before Joshua said that, in chapter 23, he spoke to them in verse 6, and he said, therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. That is an important thing to pass on. You remember that Joshua, again, he was on the mountain with Moses when God had met Moses and gave him the law. That he just saw the holiness. He saw the holiness and the awe of God's word. God spoke. God wrote it on those tablets. Those tablets were brought down and they were then put in the Ark of the Covenant. But all that instruction out of Numbers, or Leviticus and Numbers, those detailed instructions, a word of God on how to live, how to walk, how to take a shower, what to eat, what not to eat. I mean, just detailed stuff, how to worship the Lord, how to behave relationally, all of those things. They're just that awe of his word, his command. And then he watched Moses cling to the word of God. I mean, can you put yourself there? Before that, they didn't have his written word. And he spoke to just select individuals. And he spoke that to Moses now, but he got to write it out. And then he would read it. And they got to hear the word of God. They got to hear God's heart and his instruction and his wisdom. And day after day, Joshua got to be a part of that. So the word of God settled in his heart. He had a holy respect and awe for that. And he watched Moses obey the word and the law when almost 2 million people resisted it. And Moses stood. And Joshua got to see that and be a part of that, and it made his faith stronger. As I lead these people, I'm going to stand on the word of God. And then before Moses' death, when he rehearsed the history in Deuteronomy to the next generation, he said to them that he, God, might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Beautiful. And then God emphasizes that in Joshua's own life, in Joshua 1:8 that we read before. This book of the law, Joshua, shall not depart from your mouth. You're going to talk about this. You're going to give this to people. And you will meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So God's saying to him, Joshua, I'm going to ask you to do some very, very hard things in the coming years, things you don't understand, may not make sense to you at all. You need my word to stand on. You need my word washing your mind. You need to meditate on my word. You need to put my word, you need to treat it as your daily bread, as your sustenance. It needs to be absorbed and get every nutrient out of it. You need my promises, Joshua. You need my word. And they need to be in the forefront of your mind, in your thinking, in your decision-making, and they need to influence your life. These people, they may want to influence your life. They may resist you like they resisted Moses. But my word needs to have the authority. My word needs to be the greatest influence. And the Lord speaks the same thing to us in our lives. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Once again, we need to be around the influence of the people who are going to speak the word of God into our lives to build our faith. Faith comes by hearing. Let's be around people who will speak faith to us. Faith also comes by reading the word of God, by knowing the word of God, by studying the word of God. Praise the Lord that you sit here tonight, that you come on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, and you're in home fellowship, and you're in the women's groups where you're hearing the word. We need that. There is so much resistance out there. There's resistance in our families. There are people who want to cast doubt in our minds. They want to tear our faith down. We need this at this, in this day and hour of this world that we live in. We need our faith built up, and we need it built up by the word of God. And then, of course, obeying the word, not just knowing it, not just having it in our head, but translating down into our heart and then out in our lives. The word of God needs to be at the forefront of our minds, in our thinking, in our decision making, our influence, so that our faith is built up. In Jude 21, it says to keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercies of the Lord unto eternal life. And then it speaks about, well, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. My faith is built up when I am in the word of God. I want to build myself up. I want to build my faith up in the word of God. If I'm not around anybody building my faith, then you know what? I need to dig in and let God speak to me through his word and build my faith. As I said earlier, there's so much that comes against us. And there are so many opportunities to have our grow in faith. If I didn't know the word of God, oh my, I would stumble. I would absolutely stumble. And if I didn't have people in my life to say, hey, wait a minute, God can do this, you know, whatever they speak in those words of faith, I need that. So let's purpose in our lives to surround ourselves with those people, to be a person like that too, to give out the word of God and to build each other's faith up, and to be mindful of the next time fear, when we're listening to somebody and, you know, we're just thinking, oh, that doesn't translate out. We don't want to plant seeds of fear and doubt. We want to turn their eyes on Jesus and boost their faith. And then we need to make that extra step to, in not just our quiet time, but delving into the Word of God, finding those verses that will build us up and stretch our faith, because our faith is going to be tested every step of the way, every step of the way. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the awesomeness and the holiness. Thank you that you've given it to us, Lord. And even in Joshua's time, where they had one scroll, we have 5, 6, 7 Bibles. We have Bibles on our phones now, our computers and our iPads, in our purses and glove boxes. And Lord, I pray that you would stir our hearts up for a soberness and a desire, a hunger, and just that realization that how much more we need our faith built up on this holy word of yours. And Lord, I pray that we would be people who would turn others' eyes on you, to breathe hope into their lives, Lord, to build up their faith. And Father, for those who they might be struggling because maybe they have isolated themselves or they don't have a special person in their life to do that, Lord, I pray that you would bring people around them. And then they would recognize that that's from you. That's from you. Thank you that we are not alone, that you walk with us, and that you have put your body together in such a way that you use each other, all of us in each other's lives. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow us in this area of faith. And I pray that as you've been doing in my life, and I pray for so much more, and I pray that you would do the same in my sister's lives, that Lord, you would help us to be mindful during the days when a situation comes up that we think about it in a little different way and think, oh, I can freak out here, I can panic, or I can have faith. I can trust you. Lord, help us each step of the way. Help us to get a bigger picture of who you are and how you speak, Lord, that you will be with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. Father, thank you for who you are, how great you are, for being all-sufficient, over and above and beyond everything that we need. Lord, thank you for that relationship that you have given us. Work these things into our lives, Lord. They become very real, very concrete, and food to live on. I pray that you would go before each one of us, Lord. And I pray that you would bless our fellowship time. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.